Welcome to GeekCast with your host, Todd Newton.
Now, with your new solo album, Retribution, how did that come together in comparison to what you've done in the past as a solo artist?
Well, this album was, it's not that it was rushed, but I kind of put the I put the pedal to the floor on doing it. We were discussing getting it done and released in 2019 or 2020. With Frontiers, we kind of set a release plan for the next few years, and my solo album was supposed to be the last within the context of our discussion and plan. But since we just hit the 15-year anniversary mark, I wanted to celebrate as well as the fact that it's been 5 years since my last solo album with Frontiers. I wanted to kind of commemorate the kind of 5 year, you know, that mark of 15 years within 5 years since the last one, instead of waiting another few years, and it's kind of an awkward number, 18-year anniversary, and it's been 8 years since my last album. So I kind of talked him into, why don't we dive into this and get this thing out sooner than later? That way we can focus on the other things that we are working on, the other releases that we're discussing, and I don't have to worry about the follow-up of my solo album. I can, yeah, and one of those albums is the Wet album that's coming out in a couple months. That being said, they were worried that I'd be able to pull it off, and I told them I had the songs, and I locked down working with Howie Simon, who I've worked with many, many times in the past. I knew he'd be able to deliver in terms of getting me the songs, and we produced it together. All across the board, it made sense to get it done now more so than waiting, and the results were staggering for all of us. I mean, in the sense of the songs were there and that we were able to churn it out in record time.
Now, you mentioned working with Howie Simon. Aside from him, who did you work with on this record?
Well, the majority, I didn't want to make it a mixed bag of tricks like I normally do with my solo records. Normally, I like to kind of dabble with the people that I've worked with or the people I want to work with. This time around, I wanted to keep the focus and the direction more in tune with the actual album. There's no concept. There was no, well, I want to do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I wanted it to be more of a consistent piece of work, which is one of the reasons I didn't go off to work with too many other people on it. The only other ones I worked with was August Zadra and my buddy Steve Stern. We co-wrote a song together a couple of years ago that was just kind of sitting there. We didn't know what we were going to do with it. And when I was kind of reviewing which songs would be on Retribution, I said, man, we got to finish this one up. I think this one would be perfect. It would be the perfect offset to some of the other heavier material that was on the album. This one is more of a poppy tune, that's Rain Again. And the only other collaboration was with my old producer, songwriter for the Beautiful Mess album, Paulo Mendonça. He wrote a song for my brother when I was having some personal family issues last year. He wrote a song that he thought would be perfect for the idea of where I was and what I was feeling at the time. And at first that was going to be a song that I was going to put together just for the family and friends, but I thought it was, even though it was so personal, I thought many could relate to it, and I decided it needed to be on the album. And that's a song for Joey.
As far as your solo album is concerned, what type of touring plans can we expect?
For this particular one, I didn't really map out any touring. For starters, I don't have a solo lineup anymore. That my solo band has merged into the band Soto, which is not a solo project anymore. It's a proper band. And after losing Dave V, my bass player, to the accident last year with the Adrenaline Mob, we haven't really regrouped and discussed what we're going to do into the future. But as far as a solo lineup, I didn't really plan or map out any touring or any shows, etc., especially because of the new Sons of Apollo release. We have pretty much all of 2018 kind of filled out. It's all grayed out for that tour. So this was merely, let's get this music out, let's get the anniversary of our working together sorted, and I'll deal with all the other stuff later, as far as touring or as far as what else, the extracurricular stuff I'll do outside of Sons of Apollo.
when you have toured as a solo artist in the past, what type of set list have you worked with? Have you tried to represent all aspects of your career?
Absolutely. It's fun doing my solo shows because I do focus on whatever release I've got out at that time. Of course, I try to do as many songs as possible that work within the context of the set. But for the most part, it is a bit of kind of smorgasbord of the JSS career, and it's a lot of fun because I get to do a lot of songs not only that I've never done with those other artists and bands I've been with, but there's songs in there that I know the fans absolutely love and would expect to hear. So it's a great thing to be able to do the solo thing. But on the other hand, now it's time to concentrate on something that's going to be another stepping stone for my career, which is Sons of Apollo.
Speaking of which, how did you become involved with Sons of Apollo?
That was, it's kind of a funny story now, but I got an email from Mike Portnoy on my birthday in 2016, and he basically said, "Hey, Jeff, happy birthday. I'm going to call you in a couple days and let you know what your birthday present is." And I thought, that's kind of weird. I thought he was buying me a car or something. And he gave me a call, and he told me about the project PSMS that he'd done with Sheeran, Sheen, and McAlpine. They'd done a couple albums and not really tours. They've done a few appearances here and there, but they wanted to expand on that idea of that band or that project and put vocals on it. And immediately, absolutely, I said yes, without even knowing or hearing one note that I'd be singing on it, because it was kind of a bucket list to say, yeah, I've done an album with Mike Portnoy and Billy Sheehan. From that, it kind of evolved into getting Bumblefoot involved because the guys realized they wanted more of a rock staple, more so than the fusion jazzy prog thing that they did with PSMS. And that's and they knew Bumble would be able to kind of write and stir us in that direction. And then, of course, with my influence, I definitely come from that classic rock background. We kind of put all those elements together and transcended beyond just a regular prog band. We kind of put the classic rock, the hard rock, the metal, and the prog influences all together and came up with this mixed bag of soup called Sons of Apollo.
When you guys began the songwriting process for that record, was everybody in the same room, or was this something where everybody brought things that were already completed to the table?
For the most part, it was Derek, Mike, and Ron. They got together and chiseled out. Derek had a bunch of keyboard ideas with no drum machine or anything. It's just basically him hammering down some cool riffs. Because when Derek plays keyboard, he plays it more like a guitar player, or the way a guitar player would play guitar riffs. So automatically the songs sound more rock oriented than they would as a keyboard player would. It might sound syrupy or kind of mellow. He comes in with these distorted Hammond things, and they sound like badass rock tunes already. So those guys hammered out a few of Derek's ideas, and within 10 days they wrote the entire album in the studio. They brought Billy in, who also contributed to some things, but for the most part, it was the three of those guys that pieced it all together, and then they started sending me songs as they were knocking them out, and I was kind of getting my ideas together while I was finishing the Soto tour. Once I returned, Mike, Derek, and I went into the studio, and we started chiseling and crafting and carving out the vocal ideas.
Now, there's obviously been some Dream Theater comparisons with the group, especially with two members being former Dream Theater members. I suppose it's inevitable. Has it been hard for you to deal with that?
Right. Not at all. Absolutely not. Dream Theater, they paved their way and their niche into their brand and what they've been able to create and continue with. As far as I'm concerned, I look at it as a kind of like we're sharing the same boat or sharing the same house. You know, having those two guys work together in the past in that band, in that format, it just, now it puts me in that world that I've never really been in the prog world, and it's kind of cool to now add that to the ridiculous amount of things that I've done personally, from, you know, from the whole funk, rock, R&B, soul, heavy metal, whatever you want to call it. Now I can throw that whole prog thing into the whole kettle, and it's nice to be a part of that family as well.
were you surprised how well everything's been received?
I'm not going to say surprised. It's always, you're always concerned, you're always worried if people are going to like it, if they're going to accept it, if they're going to bash it. You know, it's, you certainly have more concerns on the negative than you do on the positive. I came from the school in the world that when I was younger, everything I did, I thought the world, it was just going to set the world on fire. I thought everybody's going to love it. They're going to accept it. They're going to think it's great. And once you experience the level of disappointment of not quite reaching that goal, you start veering the other way, where you're like, well, I hope people even like this. I hope people don't hate this, or I hope they don't start bashing me. You kind of fall into that category of thinking, and I guess it helps when things do come into a positive light.
Now, you mentioned you guys are going to be touring for most of 2018. What type of set list have you been working with thus far?
Well, that clearly I can't discuss. We know, especially as a new band with only one album to draw from, that we're going to have to do something to make the show extra special. Sorry, easy for me to say. And we have discussed some really cool and fun, interesting things that we're going to do for the set list. But clearly, I can't even tap into any of those details. The messed up thing is, because of the way the world is today and technology and YouTube and all that, all we have to do is play one set and the rest of the world's going to know. It's not like the old days where you had to wait until your band was coming through town to find out what the set list was going to be.
Moving back towards your solo career, how do you view your time with Journey? I thought that was a very natural fit.
It absolutely was, and because I had my tenure with Neil Sean in the band Soul Circus, he knew from the jams that we had to the rehearsals to even just hanging out, he knew I was one of the biggest Journey aficionados out there. I could sing and play, and I knew every word to every song from the C. Perry era. And from that, that's one of the reasons why Jerry went down, he knew I was the natural fit to at least save the tour. I didn't realize it would become a permanent situation for me, which it did, and that's one of the things that really bothers me about my dismissal, is they dismiss the fact that they made me a permanent member at one point, and then deny the whole thing and walk away like I didn't even exist. It's kind of strange. But C. Perry was one of my biggest vocal influences, because so was his mentors, or his biggest influence, which was Sam Cooke. We come from that same R&B, soul, black music world of influence that inspired our voices. And even though I'm not a C. Perry sound-alike, I come from that world of knowing where the actual vocal placements are. So a lot of singers who can sing high, a lot of singers who can have the range and sing those songs, but there aren't many, and I can count them on one hand, that can capture that white soul that C. Perry was so perfect for in that band. And without patting myself in the back, I'm certainly one of them in the sense of capturing the essence of why his voice works so well with Journey songs. Again, I'm not saying I sound like C. Perry or I'm better than him, but we come from that same pedigree of why my voice and my presence in the band actually did work for the time that I was in there.
How do you look back at your era with Yngwie, especially when you take into consideration the things he's said about his previous vocalists recently?
Good one. Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I have very humble beginnings. Just like anybody else, you gotta have a base. You have to start somewhere, a foundation. And I'll never look down or frown upon that. That was where I started. I'm proud to be part of that history. I'm proud to be part of Yngwie's history, and even those records that people still. That's the holy grail of the early metal years, as far as a lot of people are concerned. And to be a part of that, of course I have an absolute sense of pride that I was able to be a part of it, and not just a singer for it, but to actually help create it. So, of course, all the other stuff is just whatever it is, high school, mumbo-jumbo, just, you know, spur-of-the-moment things to say or whatever you're feeling or whatever you're saying, I just look past it. I'm too old to deal with that, to actually dwell in it. And that's one of the reasons even my response was more sarcastic than it was that I was bothered. The only thing that bothered me was the fact that he disregarded the fact that I, among as well as some of the other past singers, did create and did carve and mold those songs that helped made them what they were. To take 1,000% credit on that is absolutely unfair. But the rest, as far as I'm concerned, was just silly. And that's I made my post and walked away from it and let everybody else kind of jump on it.
Well, Jeff, I really appreciate you taking the time.
It's my pleasure, man.
And I hope to see Sons of Apollo out at some point this year. Is everything starting this spring then? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We are, yeah, we're kind of taking it back to the way bands used to do it. Instead of giving you the entire, again, as I said, with technology today, it's so easy, and everything comes out all at once, and all of a sudden they've forgotten all about it. If we do things in spurts like the old days, it gives a chance to create, to continue creating new excitement for the band as we're doing things. There's a whole slew of things that are about to be released and announced, but they're being done in due time.
Stay tuned for more Geekcasts from www.bigmusicgeek.com.